Luke chapter 11, verse 3. The prayer of the Lord Jesus is teaching the disciples. They've asked Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. He has dealt with those petitions that relate to our Heavenly Father, things that relate to His kingdom, His will, as it's done here upon the earth, and His glory, how He is regarded in this world. Anyway, the first part of this petition addresses God, which kind of teaches us that our focus should be upon the Lord and His kingdom. That should be our primary focus in our lives, in our petitions, in our lives, the way we live our lives. It should be focused upon the glory of God. Now, after he addresses those petitions concerning the Lord and His kingdom and will, now he addresses those petitions that relate to us. Okay, and the first one we're going to deal with here tonight is given in verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. Now, if you look at the remainder of this prayer, you'll notice that they, as is given here, it relates, the remaining petitions relate to us. Okay, they relate to us. The first part of the prayer relates to our Heavenly Father, the last relates to us. But now if we look at each of those petitions that relate to us and kind of categorize them, we'll notice that the first deals with our physical needs. The remaining petitions relate to our spiritual needs. Okay? I think there's some principles here that we'll notice that are important for us to consider. Anyway, some of the lessons we'll try to dig out of this verse here tonight, and there's many more that could be given, but we won't have time to do that, and I just didn't prepare enough to do that here this evening. At any rate, one of the lessons we'll see here is that how that we depend upon God. This prayer, what the Lord gives us here, what He's teaching us to pray, is a reminder, if you will, that we depend upon God for everything. We depend upon God. Another lesson that we'll see in this, I hope, is that this lesson teaches us contentment. To be content. Which is a very hard lesson to learn. It's very hard to be content. Even the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the church at Philippi, he said there in that letter that he learned to be content. It wasn't something that he just automatically had. It's something that he learned by experience. It's something that the Lord sort of led him into that mystery, if you will. Anyway, be that as it may, that's one of the other lessons that we'll see here. Two primary lessons, and we touched on one of these this morning. The first of these lessons deals with, again, our physical needs. The remaining petitions relate to our spiritual needs. And you'll notice that the first one is the physical needs, and then the rest are spiritual. Which seems to imply to me that we should spend more time praying for our spiritual needs than for our physical needs. Please hear me carefully. We should spend more time on our spiritual needs than on our physical needs. But we'll also, Lord willing, we'll see that meeting these physical needs is important. There are many prayers in the Scripture that deal with our physical needs. In fact, I'll give you an example right off the top of my head. You remember the Apostle Paul prayed that the Lord would remove the thorn in his flesh. That was a physical need. But in that physical infirmity that he had, there was a spiritual lesson that the Lord was teaching him by that. Okay? And it was given to him that he not be exalted above measure. Nevertheless, that is just one example of praying for a physical need. Here, the Lord is teaching us to pray for physical needs. All right? But we're going to see, Lord willing, that that the meeting of our physical needs to a great degree determines how well we can, and I shouldn't say that, that's poor wording, I'm sorry. The meeting of our physical needs will determine how much, perhaps might be a better way to say it, we can serve the Lord in His kingdom. And I'll try to give you some examples, explain that a little bit later. All right, so anyway, let me get to the point here regarding the ratio, if you will. And again, I'm just using some terminology here that we can understand. How much time we should spend praying for spiritual things. Now notice this one here, he gives the first petition is for physical needs. But then he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And there's three petitions there regarding spiritual deliverances, if you will. All right? That tells me that we need to give a great deal of attention to our spiritual needs. We pray that our physical needs might be met. We pray that we might be fed with our daily bread. But just as much as we pray for our physical needs to be met, we need to pray also and much more for our spiritual needs to be met. There are numerous, numerous prayers throughout the Bible, not just the New Testament. I've got several New Testament examples, but I recall one. I've used this several times in the past of in the Old Testament. The psalmist in Psalm 119 asked the Lord, "Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." That's a spiritual need. He's praying for understanding. He's praying that he might see the riches, the things that are in his word that would apply to him and his serving the Lord. In the New Testament, I've got a few examples here I want to read. And I want to just talk about some of these different prayers that are listed. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul writes, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Notice what he's praying for. Notice that. That they might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not just, you know, that I might be able to recite the commandments of God. Not that I might just be able to recite Scripture to someone, but that I might be able to make application of that Scripture to my life. You know, there are a lot of people out there who can just rattle off Scripture one after another after another. I just watched a show not too long ago where this lady and the character there, she was as ungodly as the day is long there, but she, you know, she could quote Scripture. The character could quote Scripture. And as it was convenient for her, the devil, he can quote Scripture as it is convenient for him. You know, if he can give you just enough, by the way, that he can make you believe that what he's trying to teach you is right. You know, but anyway, it's one thing to be able to recite Scripture. It's quite another thing to be able to understand what you're memorizing, what you've remembered in the Scripture and apply it in your life. That you might be able to grow on it. That you might be able to feed upon it. You know. Anyway, here Paul is asking that, ask the Lord for the church at Colossae that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that she might walk worthy of the Lord. Here's the reason. I want you to be able to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that you might please the Lord, that you might walk in such a way that would be acceptable in His sight. And he describes how that looks, being fruitful in every good work. We mentioned that this morning. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's not just meet a certain, you know, level of our understanding or a certain level in our knowledge of God's will. Let us increase in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might. You know, my friends, I don't have to tell you this, but it takes a great deal of spiritual strength to be able to serve the Lord.
It takes divine strength to resist temptations. We are beset every single day with temptations. We have the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eye, and the pride of life we have to deal with day in and day out. We have the temptations that are presented to us by the world day in and day out. We have temptations that are presented to us by the devil and his fiends day in and day out. And it takes divine strength to be able to resist those temptations and not fall headlong into them. Amen? And Paul understands that. He understands the weakness of the Lord's people. He's not talking about wicked people. He's not praying for wicked people. He's praying for the Lord's people, born of the Spirit of God, who have been made partakers of the divine nature. And he's praying for them that they might be strengthened. We need inner strength. We need spiritual strength. Strengthen, listen to what he says. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I had a conversation, I think it might have been with Brother Dan, maybe it was Brother Tim, his brother, anyway, about this text here. It's one thing to be long suffering with people, isn't it? That's one thing. I mean, to put up with people's bad character traits. To put up with what somebody might say about you that might, didn't put you necessarily in the best of light. To put up with, you think of some evil things that people do to you that you've experienced. Now, it's one thing to put up with that, right? Some of us, we do a good job at, just being temperate. Temperate, being just kind of holding ourselves, controlling ourselves, and not allowing ourselves to give vent to what is in that wicked part of our heart. You know what I mean? But it's quite another thing to put up with all those things with joyfulness. And Paul says, he's praying that we might have that. That the Lord's people might have that. Let's look at another one. Ephesians 1:16. Cease not to give thanks for you. Ephesians 1:16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He's praying that their knowledge of God might increase. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice in all of those petitions, they're all spiritual things. That you might know the love of God. It's one thing to be able to read it in the pages of God's book. Are you listening to this evening? It's one thing to read it in the pages of God's book, to be able to look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 when Paul says, who loved me and gave himself for me. We can read that and we're like, wow, that's pretty amazing. But it's quite another thing to be able to say that of yourself. To say that and know, that there's the experience of His love. I love the way John Gill writes it many times in his commentaries, talking about having fresh discoveries of His love. That God just, in some miraculous, amazing way, just makes it manifest all over again that He loves you. When God just, maybe He whispers it in your ear. Maybe He just gives you the feeling of it. He somehow makes you know. He gives you some experience. Some personal experience that assures you that He loves you. He talks about knowing the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, of the love of God, the love of Christ. Being able to fathom, to dig deeper, to reach further, to experience more greatly the love of God. You know, we're not ever going to be able to really truly fathom, I don't think. He says, the love of Christ passeth knowledge. But owed to the capacity that we could, Paul's praying unto the Lord, Lord, give them that deeper experience of your love. Again, spiritual needs being addressed. Philippians 1:4. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. Paul's praying that for fellowship, that they might have fellowship in the gospel, that they might enjoy one another's company in the gospel. Anyway, he goes on to say in verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Your love may abound more and more in knowledge. I made the comment this morning how that Robin's coming back was a testimony to you how much she loves you. You love her. She feels that love. Okay? Bear with me now. If she had her rathers and she proved it, she'd rather be here than anywhere else. Any other church, Primitive Baptist or not, she'd rather be here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your love, the love of the church, is evident. All right? But Paul says unto the church at Philippi that it may abound more and more. In fact, he would say in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I think it is, that I don't need to tell you. I don't need to tell you to love one another because you're taught of God to love one another. But Paul would go on to say, but I would encourage you to love one another more and more. And Paul now prays for the church at Philippi that their love for one another might abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Those are just a few. You can go and look yourself and read in the New Testament the many prayers that are uttered by the or made by the New Testament writers, and you'll notice that a great many of them are dealing with the spiritual needs of the Lord's people. They're praying for other people, and what they're praying for those other people are for the spiritual needs of those other people. Like, and again, these are just a few examples. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for the Lord's deliverance regarding our physical needs. Again, I've given you an example earlier tonight, how that Paul prayed that the thorn in the flesh might be removed from him. The Lord teaches us that we ought to pray for our daily bread. All right, those are physical necessities, physical needs that we have, and the Lord encourages, and we are taught by example in the Scriptures that we are to pray for them, but our prayers don't stop there. Our prayers don't stop there. This morning we mentioned how that in the proverb, I wish I remembered this afternoon so I could go back and get the text. The Spirit sustaineth the infirmities. The Spirit sustaineth our infirmities, but a broken spirit who can bear? I think that's the way that proverb is worded. Maybe you can look that up for me a little bit later and tell me where that is. But the broken spirit, who can bear? You see, when our spirit is right, can I say it that way? When our spirit is right, then come what may in this life, you know, whatever our physical afflictions might be, whatever our physical condition is, the Spirit, being in good health, if you will, can help us to bear those physical necessities or physical afflictions.
When we evaluate our prayers, how much attention do we give to our physical needs versus our spiritual needs? What does our public prayers sound like? Are we praying just for the physical needs of the Lord's people? Or are we praying in addition to that for the spiritual needs of the Lord's people? You understand what I'm saying? Praying for the spiritual needs of the Lord's people and praying for our own spiritual needs. And let me say it this way. One of the lessons in this prayer that we learn is that we ought not pray just for ourselves. We ought to pray for one another. Our Father, which art in heaven, give us, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day, give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted unto us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Notice the plural pronouns throughout that prayer. Our prayer should not be just for ourselves. It should be for the family of God. All right? But as we pray for the family of God, let our prayers for the family of God not be just fixated on the physical needs of God's people. Let them also include and let them be dominated, if you will, by the spiritual needs of God's people. Amen? All right. Now, let's look at another point here. Now, he says, when we list the petitions that we ask for ourselves, for the family of God, the first one is dealing with the physical needs. The rest is the spiritual needs. All right. Now, here's a principle here I want to try to develop to you here. That principle is our ability to serve in the Lord's kingdom to a great degree is affected or depends upon our physical abilities. The more healthy you are, let me just say it this way, the more healthy you are, the more you're able to do in the kingdom of God. There are people today, the Lord's people, who early on in life, they have been just great giants, if you will, in the kingdom of God, serving the Lord and His people. I mean, they've given their lives in service to the Lord's people. And then they've gotten old. And I can think of, well, I won't do that. But as they've gotten older, their strength has waned. And they're not able to do what they once were able to do. You understand what I'm saying? Their physical strength has diminished. And because their physical strength has diminished, what they're able to do in the kingdom of God has been diminished to a great degree. All right? So the healthier you are, it greatly affects how much you're able to do in the Lord's kingdom. Okay. So maybe that should be all I say about that. And in fact, I'll just move on. All right. This prayer, this petition, teaches us that we are to know our dependence upon God. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul said to those folks there in Mars Hill that in God we live, move, and have our being. And it makes sense to me that if in Him we live, move, and have our being, if we depend upon Him, then it just seems like common sense that the means for our existence depends on Him. How He sustains us, how we live each day, how we're able to live each day depends upon God. Bread, here in our text, it's not just that loaf bread like, you know, Sister Lisa made. I think that was Sister Lisa that brought that bread today. It was very good, by the way. He's not talking specifically about bread. You know, there's days on end that we, at home, that we eat meals and never eat bread. Or at least that's the way it is with me. I eat leftovers at lunch and the boys eat sandwiches. But for me, there's days go on that I don't eat bread. He's not talking about bread specifically. Bread is just a general term that is used to represent food. Okay? There's some lessons behind that too there that just came back to my mind that I don't think I have here. But anyway, when you read like Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, "In the sweat of thy face," this is the Lord speaking to Adam, "in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." He's not talking about just literally bread. He's talking about your food. You're going to go out there. You're going to plow the garden out there. You're going to have to pull the weeds. You're going to have to do all this hard manual labor here so that you can have carrots, so that you can have your celery, so that you can have your corn, so that you can have, you know, whatever it is you're going to eat. You're going to have to earn that by the sweat of your brow. It's going to be hard work. Anyway, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the Lord is on the mount. He's being tempted by Satan. He answers Satan after he tells him or tries to tempt him to change the stones into bread. And the Lord says in answer to him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." This was the lesson that Israel was to learn in the wilderness as they traveled around in the wilderness for those 40 years and they were being fed with manna from on high. Okay? So in those 40 years, every day they would gather, the manna. Alright, they would gather enough for that day. I think it's kind of interesting, you know, when you read that that text there in Exodus, how that when they were given that manna, there were some families that gathered more, some that gathered less, but no one had more or less when it all come down to the end of it. Anyway, be that as it may. They, from that lesson, they were to learn that they had to depend upon God for their every meal. They were wandering around in a wilderness that was barren. Jacob described it as a waste howling wilderness. Okay? There's food there scarce. They had to depend upon God for their daily living. They needed God's blessing in order to have something to eat. And though, the Lord provided for them every day, some of them still fell a-lusting, didn't they? They still fell a-lusting. In fact, some of them got tired of the manna. So, we got this manna. Remember? You know what? I think a lot of us are probably the same way. If we've had the same thing to eat day in and day out, day in and day out. Does ham mean anything to anybody here? If you've eaten the same thing, you know, day in and day out for several days, you kind of get tired of it. You've boiled it, you've baked it, you've fried it. You've put it in casseroles, you've put it in salads, you've done every kind of way that you can think of to serve it. And after a while, you're just like, I loathe this manna. That's what they said. That's what Israel said. But after 40 years, there was a lot of people. I say a lot, not as in a great number, but a lot as in, you know, a group of people that came out of Canaan who had been sustained by that manna. They learned by experience that they must depend upon God. This prayer is addressing our Heavenly Father. Lord, give us this day, or give us day by day, our daily bread. It tells us that we are not to be thinking about tomorrow. We're thinking about today. In fact, you know, when we read Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, or verse 11, he says, give us this day. In fact, let me say this about that. And Matthew's version of this, which was given on the Sermon on the Mount, the way he teaches that, it sounds like it ought to be prayed in the morning. the way the Lord teaches this one is almost like the Lord is saying, this ought to be prayed at night. Think of the difference between the way there's a word. Give us this day our daily bread, Matthew 6 and 11. This one, give us day by day our daily bread. As if to say, I've had mine today. Lord, tomorrow and each day, give us our daily portion. You understand what I'm saying? Anyway, the Lord is teaching us, one of the lessons here is teaching us that we ought to trust, we ought to depend upon His providence for our daily needs. Take not thought for tomorrow. Take not thought for tomorrow. For the evil of today is sufficient thereof. All right. Another lesson here I need to hasten. It teaches contentment. Notice he says, give us day by day our daily bread. That word daily, I learned just a moment ago, or just a few minutes ago, this word here means, the bread of our necessity. That's what daily means. The bread of our necessity. The bread that suffices for each day. That which we need today, or the bread that we need for each day. Lord, supply us that which we need. He's not praying. He's not telling us that we ought to pray for more than we need. He is teaching us that we ought to pray for that which we need. We need today's bread, or we need the bread for that's sufficient for the needs of that day. Not again for larger amounts. We are to be content with what we got. We're not to pray for bigger barns or pray for full barns. We're not to pray for a larger 401k. We're to pray, Lord, give us that which we need today. In Proverbs 30 and verse 8, the writer there says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." That word convenient now is a little bit odd compared to the way we use it today. But the word means simply needful. That's what it means. Just give me that which is necessary for me today. Okay? Anyway, notice what he says now. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Okay? So he says, I don't want too much. If I have too much, then, Lord, I'll be full and I'll be just like Jeshurun, as we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. The writer here understands the plague of his own heart. He understands his own weakness. He understands how weak he is in his flesh. He knows that in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. He knows that if circumstances were different, if I was abounding, I'm very likely to be just like Israel was in that day when they were blessed with plenty and they waxed fat and kicked. They forgot the Lord. They forsook the Lord. They lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. We want not to be like the Laodiceans, who were rich in this world's goods and had felt like they had need of nothing. We need to realize every day that we need the Lord. We depend upon Him. And so here, this writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, just give me, Lord, that food that is convenient for me. Help me to be content with what I have, with what You're pleased to give me. And Lord, don't deny me bread. He takes it and he goes to the other extreme and says, Lord, don't deny me bread, lest I take Your name in vain. I don't want to come to the point there where I might be likely to go and steal that which I need, and thus take Your name in vain. All right, so we are to be content. Sometimes the Lord is pleased to bless the Lord, bless His people with plenty. I mean, they to abound. But as when we find it that is our case, we need to remember what Paul charged Timothy when he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So he's saying that those who are blessed with a superfluity, that they ought to take that which they are given, those, when they abound with those physical things, use it in the service of God. Okay, he said earlier in the same chapter, in verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, he says, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." If we have our necessities, let us be content. It's a hard lesson to learn. "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich," he says, "fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Let me end with this thought. There may be a higher petition being suggested here. I certainly think that the primary lesson here is concerning our physical needs. And I think he's talking about physical food. But could it be also, if you'll, in fact, let me just say it this way. Would you allow me to spiritualize? How about spiritual bread? How about spiritual bread? If you remember, the Lord Jesus said to that group of people, John chapter 6, in verse 27, he said to them, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." Let me insert this word for meat. Labor not for the bread, or labor not for the food which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. As we're praying, "Lord, give us day by day our daily bread," let us remember, like the Lord told Satan, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. The word of the Lord, Peter says, is sincere milk. It's the cream. It's the best part. That's what the milk is. He said, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." So as we're praying, "Lord, give us this day," or "day by day, our daily bread," Lord, give us that manna from on high. Give us that. Give us your Word. Feed us with thy Word. Bless us to hear your Word as it's preached. Feed our souls with your Word. Meet the spiritual needs that we have. We need spiritual growth as much and more than we need in our physical growth. We need the God's sustaining grace for our souls as much and more as we need His sustenance for our physical bodies. And the Lord add His blessings.